Welcome to Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This episode is the edited version of a live session from the Jaipur Literature Festival 2021. Evolving Narrative, The Digital Dreamscape. Vikram Chandra, Sudhir Mishra, Monica Shergill, and Vikramaditya Motwane in conversation with Vani Tripathi Tiku.
Happy to join in by Mr. Vikram Chandra, who's in New York right now, Vikramaditya Motwane, Sudhir Mishra, and Monica Shergill from Mumbai. Within the context of creating content and we meeting digitally at the Jaipur Literature Festival, it's interesting to note that what has been dystopian for the rest of the world as far as the COVID times is concerned, has been an ecstatic reality as far as creating content, stories, and storytelling narratives on OTT platforms. And that's exactly what we are here to speak about today. Also look at how the storytelling narratives have changed around us within the last 11 months, and the advent of OTT itself, how it has created absolutely new narratives for telling stories, whether it is film or it's web series. So let me start with Mr. Vikram Chandra, the author of the celebrated series on Netflix, already complete with two seasons, called Sacred Game. Mr. Chandra, to begin with, this book is almost a decade old. And I remember from those days, I used to be in Mumbai and was an actor, working in the film industry. And I remember when the book came, there was a lot of conversation around what the book was about, whether it was the protagonist, Guy Tonde, who we see in the series, brilliantly portrayed by Nawazuddin Siddiqui. The binaries of the system, you know, what we see as the, not just the cop and the robber story, but the entwinement of narratives where a cop takes it upon himself to, you know, chase this guy from the lower depths, who we see as Guy Tonde. From the book, now a decade later, to a celebrated web series, how has this journey been for you? And how did you ever envisage that this will finally turn into a web series, which more than probably 120 countries in the world will be watching?
Thank you. I should say first that I didn't write this series. That was a team of Vikram and his very talented team of writers in Bombay. So I wrote the book. So when the book first came out in 2005, even before the book came out, there was interest in making it, doing something with it. But at the time, HBO had started doing Sopranos and things, but there was no global streaming platforms. So a couple of people wanted to make feature films out of this, and I thought they were insane. I didn't understand how, you know, you could try and make, even if it's a 2.5 hour feature film out of this. So I said, but okay, you know, go ahead and try and do it if you want to. And they optioned the book, and of course it didn't work. So it took a long time, I guess, for the book stayed in the world, but the proper platform for the book to actually turn into something visual, that took a long time to happen and to mature. And then Netflix did a great job. There's the whole question of language as well, right? Because I and all of us really wanted to do it in, you know, local languages and not do that kind of horrible thing where Indian characters are speaking in accented, you know, in bad, it doesn't work, right? To have them speaking another language. And then Netflix with Narcos and other series showed that you could do this. And then, so I think everything came together at the right time, at the right place. Vikram and Phantom Films were you know, thriving in Bombay, and we met in the Netflix often in LA. And then, you know, everything, like I was saying, came together, and it was the right moment. So as often happens in, I think, all arts, but especially in film, you have to have a whole range of things lined up, right? In order to, for something to actually be produced and made and distributed. And we were, I feel that we were very, very lucky that that all of this happened for us.
I didn't mean to say that you wrote the series. What I was trying to say was that there's a digital dreamscape which has opened up in the past couple of years, very much also content which is being created in countries like India. And this digital dreamscape has absolutely changed the narrative of how we consume content around us. What I was trying to ask you was that as an author, when your book turned into an audiovisual reality on screen, and obviously you must have seen it maybe much before any of us saw it, what were the first impressions, or what was it, what was in the book, which was, as I say, individualistic way of looking at the written material? You read a book, you create a, you know, kind of a landscape in your mind. And then when it becomes a reality where you see it very much large on the screen or maybe in your palm, you know, as an OTT streaming, you know, content, how did it change for you as an author? Or was it true to the very essence of when you were writing the book from that time?
I think it was very, this, the entire series is very true to the themes and the essence of the book, but it necessarily had to go through radical changes in order to work on the screen, right? And I have to say that when these guys first sent me the draft of the pilot, which was actually pretty late in the process, I was like, what the hell? Because, you know, the structure necessarily had to change, the characters have to change, but dhakka laga tha, you know, for like 10 minutes. But then as soon as I thought about it, I started to see the logic of it, right? Like, you can't have in a cinematic way, have a detective think for like 40 pages, right? Which happens in the book. Right, so you have to get the thing moving, and so it was wonderful. It was also very surreal because I'd lived with these characters for decades, and to see them, you know, three-dimensionally, not just in on the screen but in life. Right, the first time I visited a set in Bombay, they were shooting that in the nightclub where Cuckoo's dancing and Gaitonde is looking at her. And it was insane, right? And what made it even more crazy is that when I was doing research for the book, I had been to a kind of sleazy filmy party in that hotel, in that in that disco, like decades earlier with a friend, right? So it just felt like weird deja vu, you know, kind of experience in many, many ways.
Coming to the dhakka laga part, Vikram, I want to talk to Vikram, Vikram Aditya. We have two Vikrams, you know, with us right now.
He's Mr. Chandra.
Yes, he's Mr. Chandra. So you saw the distinction I had to make in very much in the beginning. Vikram, you know, what Sacred Games has done is it's opened a plethora of, you know, experiences as far as creating content which belongs to the literature part, you know, contemporary or otherwise in the country. And when Sacred Games happened, you know, I remember I attended the premiere in Mumbai. You and Kashyap were very much there. One question did arise even in my mind is that with the advent of the OTT, you're basically a cinema man, but here you were running the show for a web series. Is the author back? I mean, there was a time in the 60s, 70s, or the 80s in the film industry where you had classics or the contemporary literature of the time being turned into cinematic realities. And then there was a bit of a blip. There were good and bad films. I mean, that is up to the audience choice how they received the films which were being made. And here, there was a book which was there, you know, as I say, since more than a decade. And that turned into a reality for an absolutely new medium called the OTT. When you were working on it, I know you were intrinsically a part of also getting it written. You and Anurag were constantly working on, you know, making it happen also in terms of the series. How did this happen? Was it, is it that kind of a change that we are envisaging it will be, or is it early days yet?
No, I think it's, I definitely think, and I mean, this is it's in the hand of the creators and in terms of the OTT, the networks. But I do think, look, from a creator perspective, it's a lovely place to be right now where you don't have to, you know, you don't have to shoehorn your content into, you have to make a 2-hour movie with an interval point for everybody, right? The fact that you can now go and make a limited series, you can make a longer series, you can make a comedy series, you can do Hindi, you can do English, you can do multiple languages. You know, you can make a feature film. So I think that plethora that's available now to us creators is amazing. And that's the real deal. I mean, it's not like it's not a pipe dream, right? So I think going back to, you know, when Sacred Games was happening, I think as Mr. Chandra said, the most exciting thing for us was the fact that it's local language. Number one, you're like, great, local language. Number two, again, not having to shoehorn the book into a 2-hour film and, you know, have this, if that had happened, you'd have to lose so many interesting characters. You'd literally have to, like, you know, Cuckoo would be one scene and Kartika would be two scenes and, you know, all those lovely characters that have become fan favorites that you relish the writing process of, and you relish, you know, the casting and the whole thing, and you just, you know, love it's such great characters to chew on. All that would have gone. And I think the format allowed us to really, really have so much fun with that. And you're right, it was the moment for the authors. And I learned pretty early while directing it that, you know, it's not so much about the director here. I mean, even though you are crucial in that sort of sense, but it's more about the writers and then the actors. You know, your actors have so much to chew on. You know, you're talking to, I'm briefing Seth, and then, oh, this is a season episode 6, and you've come from episode 1, and this is, you've done this and this and, and it was so wonderful. I was like, wow, for an actor, it's so much to chew on, so much interesting material that you can sort of go back on. So I think it's a great time in that sense for everybody. And I think, you know, I think the format because it's not a one size fits all, I think your formats are flexible, and therefore you can today choose the best format for the content that you want to tell. We had the best format for Sacred Games in the dramatic medium, but everything doesn't need to be that. You know, you can have, it's so flexible right now. It's so cool right now to be able to do anything you want.
So, Monica, there's so many acquisitions that Netflix is doing, which also include books from other parts of the world. And I'm talking about books more than just content today. I do generally talk a lot about content, you know, whenever we all meet, you know, otherwise in other forums. It's because we are talking at the Jaipur Literature Festival, and literature and books is celebrated here, you know, year after year. So I think it's celebration time for authors also all across the world, that OTT streaming services like yours is also creating a platform and opportunity for authors from so many different parts of the world. What do these acquisitions mean for you? And do you also see more and more books from India, more and more authors of Indian origin, you know, getting space on your slate soon?
Actually, first, Vani, I should thank you for making me meet Mr. Chandra. Hi. I was not there when Sacred Games 1 was made. And though Vikram and Sudhir, I mean, we work with them all the time, but rarely does one get to meet Mr. Chandra. So thank you for that. And also, you know, just to add to the conversation that both have previously mentioned, you know, Sacred Games, 2 out of every 3 viewers of Sacred Games were actually from countries outside India. So that's the power of, you know, stories and books which are originating from one corner of the world and then can suddenly just blow up and travel across. And I feel that, you know, for streaming services to come and, you know, really start looking at literature, stories from every corner of the world is one of the most exciting things that's happening right now. If I were to just give you an example of last year alone, what happened, and these are series and films which we've seen release, you know, on Netflix. Bridgerton, you know, the books had been around for 18 years. And suddenly the show has become a raging success, and the books are on the New York Times bestseller list. White Tiger, you know, which came out in 2008, has been loved by people across the world. Indian books, I mean, Sacred Games, of course, you know, as we know, has been such a big success. But even if I look at last year, Sudhir has done a brilliant feature for us, Serious Men, last year, which has worked for the audiences. It's been critically acclaimed. We did When Dimple Met Rishi, which released as Mismatched on the service, a YA series, which is actually based in California. It's about Indian Americans in California, but got adapted to kids in Jaipur. And it's wonderful that we are talking at the Jaipur Literature Festival. And that book got adapted to, you know, a guy and a girl who come and meet, you know, at some web innovation camp in Jaipur. So I think from a book's perspective, at Netflix, we are so hungry and we are so excited, you know, as the larger teams, everybody is looking for a book. If I tell you the environment inside, everyone's scouting, everyone's talking to people, you know, whether it's people in the profession who can find us books, publishers or agencies, because I feel, you know, the relationship which has been struck between the written word, the authors and their stories, and the ability, like Vikram rightly said, you know, of the streaming services to really do some innovative kind of telling and formats, has actually been the most transforming thing. Of course, books have always been adapted as films, but there were so many books which couldn't have been adapted as films. You know, they were so complex. And also from the perspective, we know about classics being adapted as films and people watching and going back to them again and again. But there are so many amazing stories out there which are very, very tough for people to even perhaps read. I would actually like to say here that Sacred Games, the kind of you know, book it is, the canvas that it has, and you know, how complex it is, there would be more number of people who would not be able to read it than the ones who would actually be able to really read it and enjoy it. And for those kind of stories to really find a larger audience and then want more. So kind of virtuous cycle has been set, you know, the more books that are getting adapted, you know, to their screen versions, the more they are traveling, the more people are going back and actually reading and finding more about these books. So I think it's a very, very exciting time. And we are certainly very hungry at Netflix. We are looking for a lot more Indian books. We are doing many, but we are always looking for more.
So keep the hunger going. And Sudhir, now to you. I remember 2 years ago at the Jaipur Bookmark, we were speaking about page to screen, and you were a part of the roundtable that I was hosting. And with Namita Gokhale, one of the festival directors, I've had this conversation again and again, that more and more Indian writing needs to find its space the footsteps for creating content. I mean, I call it creating content today because it's just not making films, it's making so many other things, you know, including docu-features and web series. And here you were, you picked up Manu Joseph's book, and I remember at one of the JLS sessions when Manu was actually launching Serious Men right there. And one of the most sensitive films of our times, I wrote about it, I remember, I was so engrossed, you know, looking at the film that I had totally forgotten that, you know, coming from more than 3 decades of filmmaking that you belong to, you have attempted, you know, looking at contemporary literature even before. But this one was special. So tell us a little about this journey and the fact that, again, Manu's book, very much like Mr. Chandra's book, was very much there in the public fora for a bit. And then we saw this beautiful film that you made with Nawaz and that little boy who's such a wonder, you know, in the film called Serious Men.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's very scary, I mean, to turn a book because, you know, I'm a failed novelist. So, I mean, I started out wanting to write novels, then it's too scary and too lonely and, you know, there's not none of that immediate affirmation that you get when you make a film and all that. So, you know, I mean, a lot of people call my film novelistic. Also, if you see Hazara Woman, you know, the travels across the many characters, you know, So, I mean, yeah, it's very scary and you know, but there's this brilliant book and we just had to take the essence of what Manu did. And I think I became a better filmmaker because of the book. And I had this wonderful collaborator and Manu, who was available to talk. And he was very excited. In fact, he was there through the shooting. Never once intruding, always very exciting and wondering how this book is being. So it was like exploring a medium along with us. And we had great fun doing it. Of course, you have to concoct a lot. The character changes. I mean, it has to go through me. So, I mean, you have to rewrite it on the screen. So, I mean, it's less cruel, the film. For instance, the book is very harsh, you know, but that necessarily happens and the author has to give it up, you know, because the book remains and one was very confident about his own book. So that, you know, I mean, it's, you have to create those incidents, you have to rewrite it almost, you know, for the screen. And it has to work while keeping some of the ideas alive. Of course, the film could not have existed without the book. But, you know, it was wonderful to be able to do it with Netflix and create this another piece of work based on Manu's, and you know, and it's not possible, that kind of work is not possible if Netflix hadn't existed and if OTT had not existed, because you have such freedom. So I mean it's a scary time also, because you know there are no excuses anymore, you know, you're only limited by your own, you know, own talent in a sense. So I mean, you know, we had excuses before when we said, oh, we can't do this because, you know, of circumstances. And yeah, like Vikram says, there's opportunities to do anything. You could have made, for example, Serious Men as a series, as a limited series, but you could have made it because there were many ideas within Serious Men which were left. I mean, the whole scientist story is left. So we've concentrated more on Ayan, the Nawaz character, and the son. And so it becomes like a father-son story. And the scientist comes in as much as required in this story. But you could... I mean, somebody could take Serious Men again and do the Acharya story, for instance, and turn it into a limited series. So, I mean, there's so many wonderful things that can happen. And I mean, you could write, there are ideas that we have, like Vikram says, there's an idea you have, it makes a short film, do that, limited series, do that, you know, longer series, if it has legs, make 3 seasons, make 4 seasons. If the story, for example, I'm writing a period piece right these days, which has legs, you know, I mean, which could go into a, so it's more like a novel, right? So, I mean, I'm being able to, you know, do things which I would have never been able to do, to tell the story of for example, a period in India, you know, which goes across, spans decades, or you could take it from, say, the 1840s to 1947, you know, if you could, you know. So, I mean, these things all open up, you know, I mean, wonderful ways of seeing and doing things. And as long as you have a large enough niche, and as long as you are communicating to, and you know, I mean, what is also wonderful is that it gets discovered over time. People will see Serious Men over, say, 5 years later. Someone will discover it. It's there, you know, I mean, so you can, you know, it's a new generation. So it's like Vikram says, it's quite a good time, you know. I mean, it's scary, and I don't like the word content too much, actually. we grew up in school and all that, you know. So it's like I'm a content. I thought I was a filmmaker and a film director. We took ourselves rather seriously, too seriously, some of us at one point. So if you tell some of my friends you're a creative, I mean, they might, you know, Money Call might have turned in, but you know. But yeah, I mean, it's wonderful. You fulfill various functions also, and writing has always been. I mean, it's been giving its due, you know. But you know, it all begins there, you know. And I'm so glad that writers are finally getting their, you know, place in the sun. You know, I mean, which doesn't mean that directors. I mean, there's another, you know, contrary thing, you know, if it's all a writer's medium, then why do you need a director, right? So I think the director is a kind of a rewriter. And if you see great series, for instance, the guy who made Narcos, you know, if you see Fincher and if you see, you know, House of Cards, you see a kind of wonderful collaboration. You see Breaking Bad and you see the wonderful, I mean, it's not possible without that visual look, the heat of the Albuquerque, you see and you feel, you know. So I think, I mean, with the technology that Netflix, for instance, works with, you know, it's amazing what a DOP can do. I mean, what you could do with sound, you know, you can tell stories around that. So, I mean, I think it's like you say, it's in its nascent stage, but I think it's just going to evolve from here. And you don't know what 20 years later, what this experience will be. And
so talking of the evolution, Mr. Chandra, one of the things most of my filmmakers, most of my friends who are filmmakers say that, you know, they want to approach more and more authors. But there is this word that Sudhir used, it's scary. I mean, obviously, you're not one of the scary ones, and that's why, you know, there has been such an amazing...
It's scary because, you know, the book has a reputation. It's scary
ask Mr. Chandra that. Mr. Chandra, there is a lot of, I wouldn't call it resistance, but there is this something that exists in the mind of people who are creating stories for screen. I'm not using the word content, Sudhir. You've corrected me there, but you've used the word before.
All possible.
Mr. Chandra, how much of a collaboration is it in terms of looking at a book and then somebody else is writing a screenplay? Is it that shared collaboration which exists, or it's early days yet? Because I always feel this is democratization of content. A lot of books are now being democratized because now they can reach a very wide audience, more than 100 countries in one go if they become a series or they become a film for the OTT format. How much of a collaboration or how much of an exchange of ideas is possible, or do you see it happening because you're a celebrated author? There are so many books that you've written and Sacred Games became this celebrated series. How much of a collaboration do you see occurring further going ahead with this story?
Well, for me personally, I wanted to stay out of the way of these guys as much as possible, right? So, I mean, as an outside voice reacting to the what they sent me and talking to them and, you know, meeting with them from time to time, that was great fun. And like, you know, the excitement, I think, travels both ways. I mean, what they were doing was incredible to watch. And I guess because I've worked a little bit on the other side in film, I know how annoying it can be when the writers of the novels try and cling too hard, you know, to their original vision. It just doesn't work, right? And you have to make a radical leap, right? If you're translating from one language to another, which is what really is what is happening here, to translate poetry literally doesn't work, right? If in Urdu I say jigar ka tukda, in English it translates into a piece of my liver, right? So that makes absolutely no sense. Right. So it's the same way here. You're going from one medium to another. One medium is about words and the other one is about, you know, light. And Sudhir was saying this about light and sound and depth of field. You can't cling to what you have. And I think it depends on the writers. Right. So some writers want to work very closely and collaborate on the text that is being transferred to the screen. I didn't want to do that because I knew I'd lived with this inside my head for decades. And I saw the vision that I tried to put on page was of a particular sort, right? So it has to be translated into another universe. So I think the book universe and the film universe exist at kind of angles to each other, right? But they can't be like mirror reflections of each other. And so I think, you know, some, like I was saying, some writers like to do that. In this case, I tried not to do that, right? To allow these guys to do what they did so wonderfully well. I don't know. In the future, I do think now that there's this possibility, younger generations of writers are growing up with this idea that, you know, a book can be converted into a series. I think in the form of the book will also start reflecting this. And like Sudhir, to me, that's as a fiction writer, that's a little scary, right? The idea of books being written with adaptation in mind is actually a distortion of what to me feels like the writing process itself, and will actually take away from the richness that filmmakers can actually use, right? The thematic wideness, the ambition and all of that. Because the reason that, I mean, one of the things that is has kept me away from being more deeply involved in the film industry is that from day one, you have to think about budgets, right? I mean, I can write a huge scene, like two regiments of cavalry, you know, so the thing of the 19th century reminded me, you know, horse regiments race towards each other on a plane, right? If I tell that to a filmmaker, he has to think about like how many horses, how many riders, like craft services, how many people are you going to have to feed? Who's going to clean up the horse shit, right? And so they're seeing money, and I don't have to do that at all, right? I can just like, you know, in 40 pages, I can create a battle sitting on this desk with this keyboard in front of me. So the, like right from the ground up, right? It's not just a question of like different artistic language. It's also like different contexts of production, of how something gets made into art. I don't know. I mean, like Sudhir was saying, 20 years from now, who knows what will happen. In the work that I do, from my point of view, I think the dream that has been around for ages of multimedia books, interactive books, I think that yeah. is becoming more and more reality. I mean, I have a software company and we are working right now on giving writers the ability to create multimedia, right? Which until now you had to have a, you know, you had to be a programmer essentially to do that kind of thing. So we're hoping that we can make that much, much easier. And then from the other side, in terms of exchanges of idea, the video game industry, if I'm remembering correctly, is right now four times the size of the film and the music industry put together, right? And it's growing at an incredible rate. So with the technological prowess that Netflix has, I think inevitably, maybe not soon, but in the next decade or two, video games and film will come closer and closer, right? So interactive narrative storytelling in a visual form, that's coming. Anyway, I'm going on too much. I'll stop.
No, that's very true. I mean, I've just, in fact, just authored a big report with Shekhar Kapoor on immersive storytelling and non-linear formats of storytelling. I mean, you're very right. That is a new normal and very benevolent of you as an author to say this. I don't get to hear this from many authors. I mean, I also come from a family which is full of writers, but not that it's selfish on their part, but it's also a new medium for a lot of authors. And I think it'll also take a little bit of time to create that understanding between those who are telling the stories for the screen and those who are actually writing it as books. But Vikram, the new normal is this now. I mean, we've not had a theatrical release in almost a year. More and more, you know, films and web series and stories are being told, which are in our palm, which is also personalized viewing from the collective of the 35 women to now this new format of, you know, what is in my palm is very personal and I have the choice to view it. How do you react to it as a filmmaker now that you are probably going to do season 3 of a series which the world has already watched? The new normal is also that this is what is probably going to pave the way for new storytelling now. How do you see it happen henceforth?
Well, I'm not very happy about the palm part of it, but I don't think we should. I know the thing is, look, in India specifically, right? Most of your internet users have actually come through mobile. It's not like the rest of the world where they came through broadband. I think that and we have to accept that. We have to accept the fact that the Indian market at least is a very, very mobile based market. Look, it is the new normal, and I think that. We have to be, you know, we have to understand, yes, it is personal and people, you know, want to, the breadth of what is being offered right now and the fact that people have a choice to be able to see what they want. I'm still personally a huge lover of the cinema. I don't think that's going to go anywhere. I think cinema is going to come back in a very, very big way because we all love the collective, you know, watching experience and we will all go back to the theaters. But yes, the OTT is going to flourish in a fairly major way. I think we have to. I don't think storytelling in terms of characters and stuff is going to change that much between a TV screen and a palm, right? It's more about visibility of certain things. So it's more technical. It's like maybe not that many long shots and more close-ups. But you never know with the way screens are going and the sharpness they have. You can see things on this which you couldn't see on phones 5 years ago. So it's also possible that, you know, we can still carry on telling the same kind of stories because it's just, you can see that much more on these devices. I think I've said this multiple times, multiple interviews. I think Brad Pitt said it really nice. He came down for War Machine, which was a Netflix original, and he was on stage, and somebody asked him something about it because it was his first Netflix original, and they were like, you know, you're doing something which is for the smaller screen. How do you feel about it? And the one question I remember he asked was, he asked the audience, so he just said was that, how many of your favorite movies, how many of the classics have you actually seen on the big screen? Right. So if you actually think about it, those are movies that were made, whether it's Hitchcock films or Kurosawa films or any of the great Martin Scorsese films. How many Scorsese films have we seen on a big screen? How many Bimal Roy films have any of us seen on the big screen? I mean, the number is minuscule, right? But they're still great movies and we still know they're great movies. I do think if a great movie is a great movie, a great series is a great series. It doesn't matter where you watch it. And I think the fact that we're making things available for people to watch, you know, at 4 a.m., at 9 a.m., in the bathroom, on the bus, on the train, I think is an amazing thing. So I'm all for it. I'm all for the cinema as well. I'm dying to go back and watch a whole bunch of movies, you know, but I'm all for the new format. I'm all for being able to watch what I want, when I want, how I want.
Fantastic. Just the last thread from what Mr. Chandra said, immersive storytelling is also now gaining a lot of ground. And the non-linearity part of this immersive storytelling is also going to be a new norm. How do you react to it? And I would want also Sudhir to briefly react. I'm really in the last 10 minutes. I want to also ask Monica something. But the immersive part of it, what is your reaction level as a filmmaker, as somebody who's creating so much content for the OTT? How do you see this happening?
Well, next logical step. Oh, sorry. Sudhir.
Go on. I mean, probably we call two filmmakers, Vikram and I, are going to say more or less the same things. Because, you know, we all like to immerse people, and so it's storytelling has to be immersive necessarily. And I think I think we are at the cusp of something incredible. And I think, of course, all of us want to go back to, say, Netflix. But how Netflix will collaborate with theaters tomorrow, you don't know. How do you know that a film will not be released simultaneously on Netflix across theaters, and Netflix is beaming it into theaters, and everything's happening. So, you don't know. This is just the beginning. And it's fascinating what's happening. But, you know, I think you should make films, all of us, for the future also. Because you should compromise your technique and say, I won't take just make it like you want, because technology is fascinating and sound is fascinating, because a young kid sees it on his laptop. He's got this earphone here and he's seeing it right here. He's sitting like that and watching films. It's really immersive for him, the way young people watch stuff, watch Netflix. And it's quite amazing what you can do. And it's fascinating what kind of stuff you can do today. I'm more and more Indian books should go. I'm helping Anubhav Sinha adapt one of the great books of all time, you know, a book called Raag Darbari, right? So, which was not possible some time ago. And I'm also helping some young kids make short films. And I'm also writing a big series. And I would also making a film. So, it's amazing the kind of opportunities. And you have, it's because, my whole recovery is possible because of OTT. It's because I was Serious Men came and Netflix agreed to do it. And for the first time, Netflix told me, you know, you've got budget, you've got to increase it. You know, our sound budgets have to be a little more. So the first time I confronted somebody telling me increase the budget, right? So, that's how conscious they are of technology, of the future, right? So, and that's immersive. So,
Vikram, would you want Mr. Chandra to write a screenplay for a game, probably, which could be immersive, is what I wanted to ask.
I was just taking off.
Talking about immersion. Yeah.
No, just taking off from what Mr. Chandra was saying, I think, Netflix has tried this in the past and with kind of interactive, you know, content with Bandersnatch, where you get a choice. It's very, very rudimentary and it's very binary right now. But the idea of being able to merge, and it sounds like a bit of a pipe dream, but when I actually think about, you know, gaming and the content you're watching, and if you're in control of the narrative of what you're watching, in a style and in a content and in a speed and, you know, in a level of energy. I mean, it sounds really weird right now when you say it, but I do think that that is, you know, that is somewhere that we might be able to see in the future, where you are watching a certain film, but you are driving the narrative in a way you want forward, and you're taking it to, you know, those nerve endings where you can sort of like, you know, go out somewhere and do those kind of things. I think it's a wonderful, it sounds scary when you think about it, and it's like, it's just like, how is this ever going to happen? But I'm sure just the way things have happened, this will also happen and we'll be able to get there. But I think it's quite exciting. I think that interactivity of filmmaking is just sounds amazing.
But I think augmented reality and AI is already there. We are not waiting for those robots to walk in through the front door of our homes. Really, I mean, if algorithms are deciding which 25 people I need to, I will be interacting with the with every day on my Facebook page, that itself is ruling. Manika, immersive storytelling is the way forward. I mean, how do you respond to that? Is Netflix, the digital dreamscape already belongs to you? I mean, do you see immersive storytelling as the, and the non-linearity part? It's already non-linear. Every story that we are seeing on Netflix is not exactly the beginning, middle, and the end format that we see or we have been used to seeing for several decades. How do you respond to this new normal which is emerging and emerging very fast?
You know, Vani, I was just going to say what Vikram was saying, that, you know, about bringing stories in real time, etc. I think creators and engineers, as we speak, there are creators and engineers, in fact, who would be working across the world on merging the two. You know, on an everyday basis, one gets communication from companies like Unreal Game Engine, etc., what they're trying, how do they want to collaborate with our stories. So I think technology is a very, very important part of how we are able to really bring stories to life. And immersive is happening now also. I feel it's not just an interactive space which will give us more immersive storytelling. I think the stories that Sudhir is making, that Mr. Chandra is writing, or Vikram is making, they are such immersive stories that people will start something at probably 10 in the night and not leave it till they finish that story. That's immersive. And that's not, you know, that's not dependent on how much technology is used. That's dependent on the heart of the story. And yes, technology really enables it, enables the creators, you know, to really bring their vision to life and to really make you experience, to make you feel more of what an author has written. So I think for us at Netflix, it's really important to find the best stories first, to really find the authors and the stories. We are very committed to that, to find them first and then add the power of technology to it and, you know, the imagination of different creators who bring those stories to us. That I think the heart is never going to go away. And the imagination from where a story begins, and then technology will come and aid in that process. And of course, there will be real-time storytelling, game format, all of those will come, you know, when they have to, you know, we are already working on the next level of interactive storytelling, but there will be stories in their purest form also, which as humans, as people who love stories will enjoy, like, you know, whether it's in theaters, it's on streaming. So I think the purity of storytelling will always, always stay. And I think that is what we as Netflix really want to invest in.
So keep the inquiry on, Monica. You know, Mr. Chandra, I think we should have absolutely another session on immersive storytelling, because that's also something that I'm very excited about. But thank you all, Sudhir, Vikram. We are a land of Kathavachak. Every nook and corner of this country's stories in the digital dreamscape, as we call it, is evolving and evolving very fast. I wish I had one more hour to, you know, ask you so many more things. But I think, as we say, the argument should continue. Thank you, Jaipur Literature Festival. And let's keep the inquiry on. Thank you all. Thank you, friends. Thank you, Mr. Chandra. Thank you, Vikram. Thank you, Sudhir. And thank you, Monica. Let's meet again soon, maybe. Physically at JLF next
year. Thank you for listening to Jaipur Bites, the JLF podcast. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This podcast is produced by Launchora in association with Teamwork Arts. Please subscribe or follow to this show wherever you're listening to this.